Okay, let's start by reading a verse together, shall we? Do you have a Bible with you? If you don't, it's okay because it's Roman numeral 1 on the outline that you have. It's Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Does everybody have an outline?
If you don't have an outline, raise your hand. We'll get one to you.
Okay, so let's read this verse together using our spirit, okay?
Amen.
You shall love Oh, very good. How about all the sisters read it? Okay, brothers, you have to read stronger than the sisters.
Amen.
Use your spirit. It's good. This is a very important verse in the whole Bible. It is actually a commandment, isn't it? It is a requirement. We are supposed to love the Lord our God from some part of our heart. Yes? No, from our whole heart. And this verse is, you may not know this, this verse is spoken by the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, but he's actually quoting the Old Testament. When you read the Bible, if you come across a verse that's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, pay attention. That's an important verse. This verse is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That means it is a very, very important verse in the whole Bible. And it was spoken by the Lord directly. And I don't know, sometimes when we read a familiar verse in the Bible like this one, I think probably all of you have heard this verse at some time in your life, we might pass over it a little bit too quickly. So let's go a little slow here at the beginning and let's see what the Lord is telling us. You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart. You know, that's similar to the love between a husband and a wife. If I wish my wife was here tonight, but she's not, but if I was to tell my wife, you know, dear, I love you with quite a good portion of my heart, but the rest, I love some other things. Do you think that would make her happy? I love you with most of my heart, but I love some other people with the rest of my heart. That's not going to work. That might work in a friendship, but that's not going to work in a marriage. That tells you something. That tells you what kind, actually, here's the point. The Lord is telling us in Mark 12, 30, what kind of relationship he wants to have with us and what kind of relationship he wants us to have with him. And the picture of that relationship, the picture of it is a husband and wife. In the human life, that's as close as it gets. But actually, the relationship between us and the Lord is even closer than that. But that's the picture. So we love the Lord from our whole heart, from our whole soul, from our whole mind, and from our whole strength. It seems a little bit repetitive, doesn't it? But you get a very definite impression when you read this verse He uses the word whole how many times, Zach, in this verse is the word whole used? Four? I would tell the Lord, Lord, you're being a little wordy here. You just say whole one time. Just say your whole heart, mind, soul, strength. But he says it four times. What's he trying to tell us? I think he's trying to tell us he wants all of our love. Don't you think so? I mean, this is very, very, very emphatic. He's four times. Like if I tell you something one time, hey, Dan, I really appreciate you. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if I tell you four times, it's like, okay, I got it. So that's what the Lord speaking is here. He's saying something to us. And let me tell you, we're going to get to this a little bit later tonight, but let me tell you a little secret about reading the Bible and about praying. You know, we talk about pray reading, but really, what we're really talking about is reading the Bible and praying. When we read the Bible, we should understand it this way. This word that I'm reading in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, that is the Lord speaking to me. So the Lord is speaking to me. He's saying, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your whole strength.
Amen.
What would be an appropriate response?
Amen.
You see, this is what prayer reading is. It's a conversation. When I say to my wife, I love you, there is only one appropriate response, and it's not silence. I want to hear something back after I say that. And that's how you should understand this verse. When the Lord says to you, and this is Him speaking to you personally, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul. What should you say? What should you say? What would be a good response? Silence? No, you have to say something. Maybe you could say, there are a few different things you might say. You might say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
That would be a good one. But maybe you are feeling, I'm not really loving the Lord with my whole heart. Then you can respond to Him when He says this. You can respond by saying, Lord, you know I do love you, but I don't think my love matches what you're saying in Mark 12:30. I think I'm short of this, but I am willing to love you with my whole heart. That would be a good response. But here's the point. When you come to God's Word, when you read His Word, don't think of it as reading a book. You're not reading a book. You're coming to have a two-way conversation with someone who loves you and who you love in return. That should be an intimate conversation. There should be a lot of back and forth there. Every word that is in the Bible is God speaking to us. Our prayer is our response to His speaking. So learn to pray and read the Bible in this way. Okay, let's go on. It says the function of the heart is to love the Lord. The reason God gave us a heart is that we need the ability, We need the capacity to love. That's different than our spirit. Our spirit has the capacity and the ability to receive God, but our heart is needed to love God. And which comes first, the spirit or the heart? Actually, the heart comes first. The Lord can only come into our spirit by passing through our heart. Think about it. So if our heart doesn't love Him, if our heart is not open to Him, our spirit doesn't function to receive Him and to contain Him. So the first thing is we have to love Him. That's why God created human beings with this loving capacity, not so that we would love the world, not so that we would love money, not that we would love ourselves, but that we would love God. That's why He gave us this heart. Okay, listen to this. This is a big statement. It says, all spiritual experiences start with love in the heart. I thought spiritual experiences would start with our spirit, but here it says, spiritual experiences start with our heart. Why is that? Let me tell you something really interesting. They will not teach you this in junior high or high school or college. The only place you can find it in the whole universe is in the Bible. Hey, you're good. So, what is it? It's how a human being is put together and how a human being operates. You cannot learn that in psychology class. They don't know that answer. But let me give you a short answer. Your spirit and your heart and your soul and your conscience, they're like interlocking gears in a machine. Whenever one moves, they all move. And when one stops, they all stop. So if your heart is not loving the Lord, your spirit has no way to function. If your conscience has a problem, the whole machine stops. That's how God created us human beings. We're like a complex machine where every part is affecting the other parts, but in a simple way, our heart and our spirit are linked together. And what happens in our heart determines what will happen in our spirit or not happen, or not happen. Now, if you are like me, when you read Mark 12:30, you might say, well, that's too high. I can't do that. I don't love the Lord with my whole heart, my whole soul. Don't ever read God's word in that way. That means you are not mixing the word of God with your faith. When you read God's word, don't ever say, no, I can't do that. That's what the Bible calls an evil heart of unbelief. Instead, you have to say, amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. I do. I love you. And I choose to love you with my whole heart. That's my choice. Nobody else can choose that for me. So if I choose it, it's true. I choose it. I have 100% power and control over my own will. So do you. Even God doesn't control your will. And Satan definitely does not control your will. You do. So you can simply say, Lord Jesus, this is my choice. I choose you. Well, then maybe you'll say, I don't feel that. Well, let's come back to the matter of marriage. I know many I know the young people are not married yet, but listen, I'm going to give you a little free marriage advice here. Marriage actually is not based on love. It's based on a choice. It's based on a covenant. You make a choice and you say, for the rest of my life, whether I feel good today or bad, whether I feel loving today or not loving, whether I feel happy today or not, I choose this person for the rest of my life. It works. It works. If everyone will do that, there'll be no divorce. And that's the way the Christian life works too. Say, I choose the Lord. I choose to love the Lord more than anything else. And I can make that choice. And you can make that choice. And listen to this. From the day we believed in the Lord Jesus. This is a quote from the Bible, from Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And here's the meaning. Before we chose the Lord, we may not have loved Him, but as soon as we choose Him, He fills our heart with love for Him. I have to tell you, it was exactly that way for me. I did not choose the Lord until I was 18, my first year of college. That's when I began to love the Lord. The day before I chose the Lord, the day before, if you asked me, do you love God? I'd say, no, I don't love God. I don't love Christians, no. But then I chose the Lord. All of a sudden, I love the Lord. Amen. And I love believers. Amen. I love Jesus. Amen. What happened? Amen. What happened is, as soon as I chose the Lord, He poured out the love of God into my heart. And now I've been loving Him a long time, and I still love Him. Amen. It's not my love. It's the love that He poured out into my heart. That's actually the truth. Whether you feel that or not, that's the truth with you too. The heart of every Christian is a heart of love. Now, the last point under Roman numeral 1, whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are. Here I want to read a very important verse to you. You can read along if you like. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have it, please turn there. This is an important verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read it to you. But know this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So here is different kinds of lovers. Some are lovers of self. Isn't that everybody, really? For sure, it's everybody in the world. Lovers of money, that's the vast majority of man. And then in verse 3, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good. These are the sinful people, don't even love the good things. Then verse 4, traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure. Oh my goodness, that's a big one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So you see how many kinds of different loves there can be in a person's heart. There can be love of self, love of money, love of pleasure, but there can also be lovers of God.
Amen.
And that's what we are. We are lovers of God. Maybe you'll say, well, Brother Mark, you don't know me. I do love the self. I do love money. I do love pleasure. Well, no doubt some part of you does, but you have a new spirit and you have a new heart that loves God. You exercise your spirit along with your new heart and you find out you are a lover of God. Now let's go on. The second point, life is a person, Christ himself. And there is no other way to apply and enjoy this person but love. It says by love here. Sorry, it should say but love. Many Christians have been distracted by trying to do something for the Lord. This is the way we are when we get stirred up. When our heart is cold, we have no thought of doing anything for the Lord. But then when we get stirred up, we say, oh, we gotta, let's go do something. Well, it seems good, but actually it's a problem. It's a distraction. This is because Satan and his subtlety would like to distract us from the very center of our being. We need to forget about outward correction, outward improvement, and outward activity, and always pay our full attention to the inner part of our being. Yeah. You know, usually we are paying much more attention to the outward part, how our behavior is, what other people are saying about us. That means a lot to us. But we're not paying attention to the inner part of our being, where the Lord is. So, what should we do? Here's a good idea. Under A, from within our spirit, we have to tell the Lord 1,000 times a day, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
This is spiritual breathing by calling on his name. Say 1,000 times. Oh my goodness, that's going to take the whole day. Yeah, that's the point. We should go through our day loving the Lord. Just speaking to him, loving him. Lord Jesus, love you. Oh Lord Jesus. You know, this is a quote from Hymn 208. It says, oh, Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord, forgive me if I say, for very love, your sacred name 1,000 times a day. He doesn't need to forgive us for that. He needs to forgive us for not calling his name 1,000 times. Amen. Not for calling it 1,000 times. I don't know who wrote that hymn, but we got to clear him up on this point. It's not too much to, during your day, speak to him. Speak to him. You don't have to compose a prayer. Just tell him, Lord, I told you this morning that I chose to love you, and I love you. Just keep speaking to him. When we say, Lord Jesus, I love you, we have a sweet sense within us, and we afford him more space in our being. How about that? Let's try it. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you. All the sisters, Lord.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Brothers.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Together.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
It's true, isn't it? You can't say that without smiling, can you? You get a very sweet sense in your inner being When you tell the Lord what is really true, we do love him, and what happens is what we are actually doing is we are opening our heart to him so that the parts that he still does need to get into, we're giving him some room to get into those parts. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about that matter, how Christ can grow in our heart. But here's the first part of the answer. The first part of the answer is he needs room to grow. And this is how we give him room. Okay, let's all read 2b together. Now you have to read it with a strong spirit. Roman numeral 2, point B, starting with the word today. He needs what?
Crazy lovers of Jesus.
What kind of lovers?
Crazy lovers.
Crazy?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
No, I think, just be calm. Why do you have to be so much? Why do you have to be so crazy? Just calm down. Why are you yelling? Why are you shouting? I mean, it's okay to go to church, but don't overdo it. Let me tell you, the Lord likes crazy lovers.
Amen.
He does. He wants our love towards him not to be cold, of course, but not to be lukewarm, to be boiling hot.
Amen.
Not just hot. Boiling hot.
Amen.
That's crazy. When I first became a lover of the Lord, as a teenager, my relatives literally thought I was crazy. They said, something happened to this guy. He was fine. Now all he talks about is Jesus. He's crazy. I was very happy. I said, yes, I am. I am a crazy lover of Jesus.
Amen.
Very proud of that. Don't let anybody tell you. The one thing you can't do too much of, you can't love the Lord too much. It's impossible. You cannot be too much in the matter of loving the Lord. You can be too little, but you can't be too much. So I encourage you, especially when you are young, don't hold back. Don't hold back anything in your love of the Lord. Be a little crazy in loving the Lord. You will make him very happy. You will make yourself very happy. Oh, now you have to read point one under B. All
young brothers and sisters should pray. Lord Jesus, cause me to love you. Show me your loveliness, your beauty, your fairness, and your sweetness. To all our senses, nothing should be so sweet, so precious, so attractive, and so amazing as Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's read number two. If all the young people
would be wrecked by the loveliness of Christ, this would affect the entire nation.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I do. I really do. So, here it tells us how we should pray. Did you catch that? We should learn how to pray this way. Sometimes, I know, the brothers tell us to pray. We say, I don't know what to pray. Here's a very good prayer for you. Lord Jesus, cause me to love you.
Amen.
You know it. You know I, Lord, you know I don't love you with my whole heart yet. So cause me to love you.
Amen.
Show me your loveliness.
Amen.
Show me your beauty,
Amen.
Your fairness, and your sweetness.
Amen.
Oh, I can tell you, if you ask him to do that, let me tell you the secret to having all of your prayers answered. Would you like to know that? Do you have any prayers that haven't gotten answered yet? So I'm going to give you, right now, I'm going to give you the secret that you will always have your prayer answered. Are you ready? Here's the secret. Ask the Lord to do what he wants to do. Did you get it? You know, when my children were younger, I have two daughters, and they used to always say to me, "Dad, everything we ask you, you say no." Now, I know none of you have ever said that to your parents. But that's what my kids said to me. They said, "You always say no." I said, "That's not quite fair." I remember I said yes at least once. But according to their feeling, I always said no. So I told them, I said, "Listen, the reason I say no is you keep asking me to do things I don't want to do." I said, "If you want me to say yes, it's very simple. Ask me to do something I want to do. For example, you could say, 'Dad, would it be okay if I go to the summer school of truth?' I'll say, 'Yes!' Because you asked me something that I want." So when you tell the Lord, "Lord, show me your beauty. Show me your loveliness. Cause me to love you," he's going, "Yes, yes, I thought you would never ask. You finally asked me to do the very thing that I want to do. I'll do it, I'll do it." He will. It happened to me. I know this is true. It will happen. Okay. Last point. We're gonna finish in time for you to share a lot. I want to talk a little bit now about a very important book in the Bible called the Song of Songs. Have you ever read the Song of Songs? The Song of Songs, you read it? Okay, but that's good. That's good. The Song of Songs is in the Old Testament, and it is unlike any other book in the whole Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible. And this one is really different than all the rest. If you read the Bible, you'll see what I mean. There's no other book like this. For one thing, that book, Song of Songs, it never mentions God, not even once. But it's in the Bible. So, you know, thousands of years ago, there was a lot of debate. Should this book even be in the Bible? It doesn't talk about God. You know what it is? It's a love story. It's actually not even just a love story. It's a love poem. I can see all the brothers are like, all the sisters are like, No, it's a love story written as a poem. Why would the Bible have a book like that? I mean, we got romance novels at the drugstore. Why do we need a love story in the Bible? I already gave you the answer at the very, very, very beginning of this message. You tell me. Why did God include a love story in the Bible? What do you think? The same thing we said earlier. He is trying to tell us what he wants. He wants to have a very particular kind of relationship with man. And the only way to describe it in human terms is to talk about a love story between a man and a woman. It's the only thing that comes close to describing the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. So in the Bible, he puts a love story. And I tell you, some parts of that story will make you blush. Some of that's, wow, that's quite a romantic story, like really romantic. You say, what's that doing in the Bible? Let me tell you, the love that the Lord wants us to have with him, listen carefully, it's not a religious love. No, it's not the love of the creature to the great creator. It's not even the love of a father to a son. It's the love of a wife to her husband. That's not a religious thought, is it? The religious thought is we honor God, we fear God, we worship God. Man, when I go home after this meeting and I see my wife, I hope she doesn't say, I honor you, I fear you. No, I hope she comes and gives me a hug and a kiss. That's the love I want. And listen, that's the kind of love that we should have with the Lord. It's not what people think. That's the religious thought is we have this distant, objective, kind of abstract love for the Lord. No, no. It should be as real. It should be as real as this right here. It should be a very, very real and intimate and personal contact with him. So that's why he put a love story in the Bible. The Song of Songs is a marvelous and vivid portrait in poetic form of the bridal love between Christ and his lovers as his bride. Song of Songs stresses not the body of Christ corporately, but the believer in Christ individually. So this love story, it's not the story, strictly speaking, it's not the story of Christ and the church. It's the story of Christ and you. It's your individual love relationship with the Lord. And every one of us has to have that individually. If we don't have that individually, there will never be the church as the bride corporately. It can't happen. So this story, Song of Songs, it's about you and Christ. Kind of makes you want to read it, doesn't it? There, go read that. That's your story. That's your love story with Christ. According to Song of Songs, our relationship with the Lord should be very formal, objective, and cold. Did I get it wrong? Oh, this must be a typo. It says on here we're supposed to be Dex. It says on here we're supposed to be romantic? Could that be right? Romantic? With the Lord? Amen. That's what Song of Songs tells us. The relationship we have with him should be a romantic love. Well, whatever age you are, you already have the capacity to have that kind of love with the Lord. Now listen, if there is no romance between us and the Lord Jesus, then we are religious Christians. I don't want to be a religious Christian. Do you?
No.
You'll be a religious Christian, not a romantic Christian. How can we become romantic? Pray reading Song of Songs. Pray reading Song of Songs. Hey, let's try that. Let's see. Song of Songs, chapter 1. Now remember, when I read the Bible, the Lord is talking to me. I need to listen to what he says, and then I need to answer him with an appropriate response. But Song of Songs is a little different. You know why? It's a dialogue. It's a dialogue between the lover and the object of his love. So in Song of Songs, you have his speaking and her response. So let me give you a little example. Song of Songs, chapter 1. The lover of Christ says this, "Let him kiss me." Amen. How about that? That's in the Bible. That sounds very romantic, doesn't it? "Let him kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, of his mouth, for your love is better than wine." What a statement. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to kiss you. He does. And you can tell him, "Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." I know it sounds like that's not a very good prayer. It actually is a very good prayer. You know, in, let's see if I put it on here or not. Oh, I did. In Psalm chapter 2, there is a verse in the Old Testament. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry." He will be very unhappy if you don't kiss him. And you won't be very happy unless he kisses you. What is that? That's romance. That is a divine, lovely romance. Our relationship should be very romantic. And to help us in our contact with the Lord and in our pray reading of his word, I really do recommend Song of Songs, especially chapter 1. Will you try it? Yes. Try it. Read it, and after you read it, respond. How should you respond? Respond with whatever is in your heart as you read it. Have a little conversation with the Lord. According to Song of Songs, we need to have a personal and affectionate relationship with Christ. Please underline these two words, personal and affectionate. Personal means it's you and him. It's nobody else. It's something between the two of you. I can't love somebody for you, and you can't love somebody for me, can you? I can help you fix your car, but I can't help you love somebody. That's something only you can do. And then our relationship with him should be affectionate. So how is that expressed? It's, you know, in the human life, the way we express affection, if I go, "Hey, Dan," that's not very affectionate. But if I say, "Hey, brother," that's pretty affectionate. That's brotherly love. And when I see my wife, I say, "Dear, dear." The way I speak to her is affectionate. How you pray, how you speak to the Lord, is it affectionate? Or is it just some kind of formal prayer that you heard somebody pray sometime? See, we have to work on this. We have to learn how to kiss the Lord and have him kiss you, have an intimate conversation with him. And the way he comes to us is that kind of way. I'll just give you one example in the Bible. There's a lot of verses here, but I'll give you one example. Peter Peter had a really big failure. I doubt if any of you have had this big of a failure. Maybe you have, you tell me. He promised the Lord. He made a promise. He said, "Lord, if all of the other brothers forsake you, I will not. I'm willing to die with you." And then right after he said that, he denied the Lord three times. I don't think you, did any of you ever do that? Maybe not exactly, but you sort of did it. Me too. You said, "Lord, from now on, everything's going to be different." And then right away you had a failure. Or three. Or 10. So then how does the Lord come to you? "Hey, you said everything was going to be different." No. How did the Lord come to Peter after Peter failed him? He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Can you imagine if you are Peter? Peter's going, "Oh no. I told the Lord that I loved him more than all of the brothers. I told him that I would even die. And now he says, 'Do you love me?'" Then he asks him a second time, "Peter, do you love me?" Can you imagine when he asked him the third time? Peter's like, "Oh no, not three times. Three times is how many times I denied him. Oh no, 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 no." But the third one came. "Do you love me?" Oh. What kind of heart does the Lord have when he comes to us? He knows we're gonna fail. And he knows we're gonna make promises we can't keep. And he knows we only made those promises because we love him. Peter made that promise because he really did love the Lord. But he needed to experience a lot more of the Lord's love. So the Lord didn't come to rebuke him. He just came to stir up his heart of love again to pursue after him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And that's how he deals with every one of us. Don't ever think he wants to punish you. No, he wants to love you. He wants to kiss you. The only reason he's upset is you went away, so he didn't get a chance to kiss you. He wants you to come back. That's what he wants. That's what's in his heart. His heart towards us is always just that. Okay, very important. This is a quote. This is an amazing quote from a book, and the name of the book is here, Life and Building, as portrayed in the Song of Songs. I would really encourage you, young people, to try to memorize this quote. You would benefit greatly from it. But for tonight, how about if we just read it? Okay? All the young people, let's stand up and read Roman numeral 4. And let's read it with our spirit, okay? Ready, go.
"Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so prevailing, and no other way is so safe, so rich, and so full of enjoyment. Just love him. Do not care for anything else. We must continually tell the Lord, 'Lord, keep me in your love. Attract me with yourself. Keep me all the time in your loving presence.' If we pray in this way, we will see what love we will have toward the Lord and what kind of life we will live. We will simply live by the Lord himself, as long as we love him from the deepest part of our being. Everything will be all right."
Very good. Very good. That's a quote from Brother Witness Lee. That's a word of encouragement to the young people. Give yourself to love the Lord. If you do that, everything will be all right. And years from now, you will still love him, and you will love him even more. Okay, I'll stop here. The brothers will tell us what we're going to do next.